Amen. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. It's so beautiful this morning how God has made a point of meeting with individuals and actually reaching out. Yeah, so last week we had a preach from Chad. Who was here? I wanted to say who was not here, and that would be awkward, but who was here? Maybe just put up your hand just to get an idea of the groundwork, because I wanted to build on Chad's preach last week, because it was firstly something that was on my heart before he preached it. It was actually so amazing, because I got asked to preach like a week and a half ago, and I was prepping, and then at the prayer meeting last Sunday, Trev brought a word about a map and treasure, a treasure map. Yeah. And then I was like, wow, that's confirmation. That's in the line of what I'm prepping for. And then Chad preached on treasure. So I had one of two options. It's either to build on it or kind of go left. But I really felt that that was an awesome foundation, actually, for us to plant on, build on. I say plant because there's a lot of sowing that's going to be happening in this preach. I'm going to be sharing on some scripture around that. But last week, Chad dropped some very black and white statements and brought some truth that intentionally was not gray. Who likes gray? No one in this whole building. That's amazing. I'm going to challenge that, because gray is actually quite awesome when it comes to comfort. Because when someone says, come here at this time, it's a lot more pressure to be there at that time than if I say, come here 10-ish. 10-ish is quite a, I already feel the pressure's off. I'll set my alarm. I'll start leaving at this sort of time. And when we get there, we get there. But black and white can actually leave us a little bit uncomfortable in terms of now direction and specifically when it comes to how we should live. Gray can actually be a comfort zone. I don't know if you guys have experienced that. I think gray is interpretation. You know, that's not quite how I believe it to be. Gray can be, yeah, that's important to you. For me, I'm still getting there. But he brought about black and white last week, which I think can actually leave us a little bit uncomfortable or with a lot of questions. But today, I would like to just clarify further, but I really felt like this morning we can just take a deep breath. Can we do that? Oh, that's awesome, eh? Breath is awesome. So you mentioned that Jesus is worth everything. And all Christians go, yippee, yes, I agree. Until it applies to our life, it's like, did you mean that as well? He said also that the treasure, he is the treasure for him. Let me just gather my thoughts here. He's the treasure. Jesus is the treasure. Because without him, we find ourselves lost. And so it is obviously of value to us that Jesus, that we find Jesus and we seek him. And he also mentioned that we're not in a kingdom that is based around convenience or comfort, but rather commitment and covenant. He spoke a bit about the parable of the treasure in the field and how the guy sold everything, all, and he bought that field. And so all of those alls and everything words are quite, there's not much gray. If I asked you to please give me all your money, I'm expecting all of it. I'm not expecting what you can afford. And so, yeah, that is the kingdom. That is the kingdom of God, that he gave it all, laid down his son for all, for us to then give everything and enjoy give everything.
Yeah.
I had a funny experience yesterday. I must just quickly tell you. This reminds me of it. I was painting, so I turned my top inside out. And then I was walking around, and I turned my pants inside out. Then I turned my pants the right way around afterwards, but not my top. And I looked down, and there was paint on it. And I was like, how did I get paint on my top? And then I realized I hadn't turned it the right way around. So I turned it the right way around, and there was toothpaste going down the front of it. And so the whole family had a good chuckle at me. But anyway, it seems like it's in the genes because my son had the same toothpaste streak on his top. Anyway. So, hearing the preach last week and even before that, I have such a sense that in this congregation, we have got incredibly devoted people. We've been, just as a movement, it's a foundation that we devote ourselves. And I believe that there's a lot of devotion in this congregation, and it's not to be pecked at as, come on, guys, we need to devote ourselves, unless you need to be devoted to a greater extent. But there's a richness here that I believe that God has really been building and building on and building on. And today I wanted to actually build not so much on what we need to now do, but actually more on what we need to understand. Because I'm going to go through the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. I'm not going to put it up on the board. I'm going to actually just share it with us just from my brain, because I've read it a few times. But it's definitely in the Bible. You can go and read it for yourselves. Matthew 13, 1 to, actually, I think up to 51, the whole passage that I'm going to share on today. But before I go there, I wanted to just say that the scripture that Chad preached on and what I'm going to go on more on is the kingdom of heaven in particular. That is what I'm going to be sharing on, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a foreign place. It cannot be actually revealed to us unless God reveals to us what it is. We cannot sit here and actually explain it. So I want to go through, let's just maybe begin with a story. So there's a parable of the sower. I think does anyone not know the parable of the sower? No, I did it the other way around. You all know the parable of the sower. That's awesome. Because I'd like to go over it again today, but a lot of the time, the parable of the sower is shared based on the gospels going out and who responds, but I feel like there's a deeper application that we can look at. So firstly, the path, he speaks of a sower going out and casting seeds. You guys seen that? These days, they go with trackers and they pop them in the ground. But in the old times, they would cast them out. I think you guys said, yes, you've seen that, but I don't think you have. Anyway. So when you cast out something, it lands on different soil. And the path is the first thing it lands on, where it is hard and the seed can't be taken. We know the story. The birds come and snatch it away. The second soil category that it lands on is that it's rocky ground. And it says that with rocky ground, there's not much soil. They immediately spring up. Since they have no depth of soil, the sun rose and they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. So that's bad, because you've heard the word of, it's the word of the kingdom of God comes as the seed. And as it comes and gets scattered, it takes root. But it's not able to sustain itself because it doesn't have a root. The thorny ground is the next thing it lands on. It says the thorns grew up and choked the plant that was growing. Okay, so it's important that it was growing. And the last is the good soil. The good soil, which when it's grows in the good soil, it produces 160 to 30 times. So it is very bountiful in harvest. And I think I think Hein said something last week. He came up and shared that we can sometimes get quite presumptuous as as individuals, not even as Christians. I think often we assume more of ourselves than we are, and most of the interpretation of that is good soil. Ah, that's me, because I'm here, I'm a Christian. But I don't know that it is. Are all Christians good soil? You don't think so, Fonny? Anyone else? You think all Christians are good soil? Nice one, Colin. Yeah. 10 out of 10. I should have had my own treasure here today to promote participation. I've done that in the past. Do you guys remember that? No one remembers. I'll have to do it again. But let's look at the different categories, because I believe that as we look at the categories, we can start understanding more and more that it's not just the unbeliever that is the rocky, the thorny, and the hard soil. And as we go through our walk with the Lord, there's a constant need for us to evaluate the soil, because it gets pretty scary if we don't. It says that the first one, the birds, come and snatch. It says, he that hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown into your heart. So it's understanding that's required for us to actually firstly receive it and bear fruit. If you don't understand what the kingdom of heaven is, it even what has been sowed in your heart gets snatched away. Now, in the light of eternity, that's pretty big, I think. I think we're sitting here, we're in different processes where we're at. Each individual is seeking the Lord, but if we don't understand the kingdom of heaven, even what has been put in there, before it even takes root, gets snatched away. The rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Who's received the word with joy at some point in their life? And Justin, come on, Drew. I know this is the day. Come on. Come receive. we've all been praying for Justin. You know, he's one of those guys who've been coming a long time. And today's the day, Just. Come on. There we go. He received it. Today's your... No, so he received it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So we've all received, I'm presumptuous now, there may be guys here today who have not received the joy. I was just joking about Justin. He's a believer, and he's following Jesus well, and we can learn from him. But there may be people here today who have not received the word of the kingdom of heaven. And it may be a foreign concept. Even maybe you've heard about it, but you haven't understood it. Coming to church is not the kingdom of heaven. Coming to Wednesday Com is not the kingdom of heaven. Being nice, turning your other cheek, is not the kingdom of heaven in understanding. You can have elements of it. Yes, there are boxes to tick, but that is not what we are here to do. Jesus is taking time in this parable to explain something to us, and then we'll continue past that to see what Jesus says about the kingdom of heaven. But if we don't understand it, or if we don't have root in it, the soil is not deep for us to actually nourish ourselves in it. The tribulations and persecution arises for the sake of the kingdom of heaven comes. We often think of persecution as when people get martyred on poles. But do you know that we are in a culture of the kingdom of heaven when we understand it? And that culture is not the culture of this world. And so your decisions you make, the pressures you get put on to make decisions, is actually when it comes down to whether you understand it enough to withstand the persecution, the tribulation. Tribulation is unfortunate events. put lightly. No, when things come about that actually hurt us deeply and cause us to not understand the kingdom of heaven. The thorny ground, the thorns grew up. This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. I want to just clarify something. I'm not going to be preaching, are we saved forever? Are we not saved? Do we lose our salvation? That is for Jesus and God to figure out at the end of the day. I have an opinion, but I'm not going to give it today. But if you become unfruitful, or the word of the kingdom of God becomes unfruitful in your life, you kind of, it's a glitch in the system, because we're supposed to, a fruit tree without fruit is just something nice in the garden, right? What do we want when we plant a peach tree? We want peaches. It is the nature of expectation. If you plant wheat, we want to eat bread at some point. But if it becomes unfruitful, it's close.
Yo, that was close.
It's close to, I'm not going to go down that trail, but you get the idea. It's not a good idea. It's not a good place to be. And then the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it and produces much fruit. That's all that we want to be, hey? Producing much fruit. But we're not always there. We're not always there. You put a note on my thing. Why am I looking so good? Huh? Why are you good, so good looking? Trev. Yeah? Oh, Trev. So, are all good Christians good soil? I mean, this is a question we need to understand, we need to wrestle with, because we want to be good soil. We come here because we're good Christians, and you know, I'm kind of pushing us all into boxes that we don't necessarily think in. But it's common thinking that if I come here, then I'm doing a good thing and I'm kind of fulfilling. But we need to actually look at our hearts to say, hang on, am I producing fruit? Is the kingdom of the word of the kingdom of God producing fruit in my life? Because the deceitfulness of riches, as it says, and the cares of the world are very real things. They are what it's like. You go out the door, even now we're thinking about cares of the world, right? It's not like it's a big thing has to go wrong in our life before we start caring about the world. It's our reality. And yet the kingdom of heaven is actually our reality as believers. That is what we've received with joy. So imagine for a second now we're trying to, you guys are all blind, okay? I would like to be the only guy in the building that can see something, okay? So close your eyes, please, just 1 minute, close your eyes. And I want to explain today what a tree is. You guys can open your eyes if you want to, but the illustration is, imagine I'm trying to explain to you guys what a tree is. But you're all blind and you've never been outside before. You can imagine how complicated that would be. I say, the tree is green. Okay, but it's not completely green. There are elements of it that are brown, and there's yellow, there's a bit of purple in there, and there's also, you get the point, it's not green in itself. It's rough. Hey? No, well, not all of it. There are some smooth parts of it. Some of it's a bit more rough than others, and then it's, okay, wait. And let me say, it's big. It's a big tree. It grows from small, but it gets bigger, and some trees get bigger and smaller. And you get the point that if you don't know what a tree looks like and you're blind, you've never seen it, I'm going to have a tough time explaining it to you. Maybe you could smell it if it was close by, and you just have this whiff coming past, and like, a tree smells like roses. No, it's not roses. It's, you know, and still you don't know what a tree is. But the kingdom of heaven, Jesus tries to explain to us what is the kingdom of heaven. And he starts using pictures. And it can be very confusing, just like a green tree or this. But unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, you won't understand it. So I'm really trusting today for myself and for you guys that as we go through what Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is this. Okay, bearing in mind, if we don't understand it, okay, we don't bear fruit. He spends a long time, and right at the end he says, okay, guys, do you understand this, all that I've said? He's quite systematic. So firstly, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a field. And a man goes out to plant his field with good seed. And so his workers go and they plant them and they're like chuffed with themselves because the master's got some really good seed. But then in that very night, the enemy comes and plants weeds in their seed, in their field, amongst the seed that they've planted. And they are shocked to see when it grows up, hang on, master, did you not plant good seed here? Why are there weeds? Now, in the description that Jesus gives, the sower is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The evil one, the enemy is the devil, and the weeds are the sons of the evil one. The servants and the reapers are the angels. Then they come to the master and say, okay, wait, we committed. We want to go, can we go rip out these things out so the wheat can grow? And they say, no. And the master says, no, let them all grow up together. And in the end of days, when the harvest is ready, we'll bundle up those weeds and we will chuck them into a fiery furnace. So will it be at the end of the ages. All causes of sin and lawbreakers will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Can you imagine that? Yes, there's a warning in it. But shining like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, that's in store for us as we hold on to the truth of the kingdom of heaven. But there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who have grown weary of actually not caring what their heart is like. What is the garden? Those who are in religion, who are actually saying, I'm just ticking boxes. I don't care about being devoted. What I'm devoted to is this, because this is important to me. So there's another thing in that, is that don't be surprised when we are dwelling with evil in life. Don't believe that because there's evil, it's wrong. It says there that the evil and the sons of evil and the sons of the kingdom are going to grow up together, as well as be influenced by each other. So there's a warning there as well, is don't presume that everything that you hear that sounds right is right. Because your understanding, you can lose it. The worries of the world, oh, these wars, these rumors of wars. What are we going to do if the government does this? What are we going to do if my job gets taken? Whoa. The kingdom of heaven. Let's find out what it says about it. The second parable is to do with the mustard seed. A mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Sorry, first timer's up. You guys are gonna have to listen to some fast forward talking now. No, so if we look at that analogy, I always thought a mustard tree was huge, and that was the illustration. But actually, in this parable, it's actually talking about a shrub that grows very big, a shrub that actually grows exponentially fast, and within 5 years, this thing can grow 6 meters tall. And it's still under the shrub category because of all the terminologies. But the birds of the air, it's got fruit that this thing has, that it can builds its own ecosystem kind of thing, this tree. It was actually interesting to research what a mustard tree looks like. It's a fast-growing tree. It can live in deserts. It does not need a lot of water. It smells nice. It can be used for tools. It's got oil from its seeds. It's an amazing tree, actually, for a desert plant. And the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's exponential. It grows quick. It's resilient. It can grow in salty soil, apparently, which a lot of trees can't. All of these pictures that Jesus kind of puts there, why did he pick a mustard seed if it doesn't grow incredibly big? It was my first question. So that's why I dived a little deeper, going, okay, what is the significance? Well, if I was going to explain to you the kingdom of heaven, I go, it's like a mustard seed. So, why? Mustard seed? We're going there. But yet it starts so small and grows so quick. For me, it actually feels more like the tenacious, unstoppable, resilient elements of this tree that actually stand out more than its stature. Although it does grow quite big, 6 meters tall for a shrub. It's bigger than all the garden plants, it says. And then the third one was about leaven. You guys, sourdough lovers? We used to have a sourdough plant called Pudge. Everyone names their sourdough starter, guys. So don't look at me like that. It's a thing. But Pudge died with my fourth child. So it was either you got to feed Pudge or feed the kid. And that's it's a maintenance thing. You got to feed it with flour. And it's actually a culture that's developed. Candace is amazing. She's tried to make her own starter. You catch the wild bacteria in the air that are good bacteria. And this thing starts its own little culture. And as you feed it, it multiplies. But Pudge can go pink, and that's bad. If you eat the pink Pudge, don't do it. It goes bad bacteria. But leaven, spelt leaven, that's the trick. I should have left the A out. It would be easier. But there is a picture of something. So the parable goes, it's leaven is basically put in three batches of flour, and then that's all it tells us. Have you, the one time we were in Oatsrand camping, and we bought dough in a packet from Spar because I couldn't make it. I normally make my own dough. Have you guys done that before? And then you've got the journey home in the car, and then the thing gets bigger and the packet kind of swells. You go, oh dear, how do I get this thing back in the packet? By the time we took it home, this thing was oozing out of tiny little holes in this packet. It was like a monster. It got out of control quickly. And that is the kingdom of God. Once you've put the leaven in there, it's unstoppable. It's exponential. It cannot be contained. It lightens the bread. It's got an aroma. Have you guys smelt a Pudge? Who has owned their own Pudge here? There we go. We got a Pudge. It's sourdough, so that's the traditional name for it. Mine was called Pudge. But the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It cannot be stopped. Once you shove it in that dough, it is going, boy. And the seeds of the kingdom of heaven have been planted in you. Each one of us have heard the word, received it with joy, and this Pudge is moving. It can be stopped by the worries. It can be stopped by this. It can be stopped, but it needs to be nourished. It needs to be made sure it don't go pink. It's a hidden treasure. Chad shared on that last week. It's kingdom of God is everything. Sell it all. Buy the field. Work the field. It's your field. And he went on a bit more about that. But when we understand the kingdom of God, we do it in joy, with joy. It costs everything, but it's done in joy. There's an overflow of joy. The pearl of great price is the other one. Again, the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. A merchant isn't you and I, unless you're a merchant, but you buy and you sell stuff, which means you know the value of what you can get it for. Because you buy it according to the value you can sell it for, right? If I buy a Bible, because it's in front of me, I'm going to use that, for 1,000 rand, but I can only sell it for 200 rand, it's not worth it, right? It's maths. I'm quite good at that. But A merchant came across a pearl of great price, and he sold everything else, his whole stock line that he thought was of value, that he could make a profit on, and bought this pearl. Clearly, there's an illustration of knowing the value of something and just putting it all in. It's like those guys on the betting lines, you know. All in, put it all in. I'm in. Putting a high-risk bet on I don't know betting stuff, but anyway. So the net is the other illustration. The net was casted out into the ocean and it caught a whole bunch of fish. And once they pulled it in, they sorted it and threw away the bad fish and kept the good fish. And again, illustrating to us that we are living for eternity. We're living for a reward for holding on to this understanding of the kingdom of heaven. There is a great reward. And the alternative is weeping and gnashing of teeth again. We need to understand that the kingdom of heaven is not something we waltz into. It's not something that we get given and then we have it. I'm not going into we're not slipping into the doctrine of that. But I'm poking the thought because it speaks here in these parables of something that is precious, something that we work on and we find Jesus in continually, assessing our hearts to find out whether or not we are actually understanding this thing of the kingdom of heaven. It says that this is wide is the gates that lead to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to life. And then in verse 51, it says, have you understood all these things? Now, I have a sneaky suspicion that there's a bit more digging we all need to do. And that's why I say it's not a to-do list of how to get now saved or how to maintain this. This is a poke to go, let's just not be presumptuous. Let's live for eternity, seeing the pearl of great price for what it is, to know it's worth it. We'll sell it all because it's worth it. We give it all because we live it out because it's worth it. We love because it's worth it. It's not something that's a gamble. It is worth it. It is worth it. So don't be afraid to examine your heart daily. We're not deciding daily, am I saved or am I not saved? It's a thing of examine your heart so that you can hold true. You can push forward. So to land this hard path, no understanding. Rocky soil, persecution and suffering, you have no roots to withstand it. Thorny soil, worries of the world and deceit of riches. Good soil, understanding, and much fruit. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Like, that's one thing I've been really seeing is that Jesus came to tell us this thing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not coming, it's here. Yes, eternal glory with Jesus and God is coming. And that we look forward to. But the kingdom of God, of heaven, is here. It is at hand. So yeah, I really trust that is inspiring because I have been very inspired to not strive. There's something that we've been speaking on there's one more scripture, guys. This is a good one. You're going to want to hear this. Weariness. I don't think there's a lack of devotion, but sometimes there is weariness. If we look in Galatians 6, this is verse 6, Galatians 6 verse 1 to 10, we can actually put that one up. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is not, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the house of faith. Let's pray together.